All right, our reading this morning comes out of Luke 14, 12 through 24. And our message this morning is entitled Information or Invitation. And so I'll call you to, I was going to read 7, but given the happenings of this morning, I'll try to keep it brief. I was going to go back and read at the beginning of 7 where Jesus teaches us about our humility. And then he teaches us the parable of the great feast. And in 7 through 11, he basically talks about our humility at the table and the things that we do. So I encourage you to go back later on today or this week and read at starting at Luke 14 and starting with 7. But we're going to begin today at 12. So here's what Jesus has to say. Again, Luke 14, beginning at 12, going all the way through 24. Then he turned to the host. When you put on a luncheon or banquet, he being Jesus, when you put on a luncheon or banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back and they will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations, he said. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. Please excuse me. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant was done, had done this, he reported back to the master, there's still room for more. So the master said, go out into the country, lanes, and behind the hedges, and urge everyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get the smallest taste of this banquet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, this morning's message is entitled Information or Invitation. It was put together in a brief message because the music that we will hear and have already heard this morning is very empowering. And I want to thank our friend Stacy for being here and being a part of our ministry this morning and the words that he shared with you earlier before the first song, and how fitting that song was given the events of this morning here in worship. So again, I do welcome you to Bethel today. As always, it is certainly great to see everyone. This past week, I had the distinct pleasure in visiting with a couple who I have come to know and love, who are in love with each other and soon to be married. I was honored some time back when they had asked me to marry them, and last Monday was our first official meeting together. They were nervous, and quite frankly, so was I, but that quickly passed as we shared in each other's company and conversation. We spent several hours together actually talking and sharing with each other over a meal. Their hospitality was amazing. During our conversation, I felt called to ask them about church. It was a loaded question, I must admit. They are young and they come regularly, and I wanted their opinion. I wanted their opinion about church. And that was a tricky question because I left it open-ended at the table that evening. As the person that asked the question, and sometimes we find ourselves there when we ask open-ended questions, we need to prepare to receive whatever answer comes our way. So in their immediate response to my question, they asked, you mean the church itself or our church? Well, if there were a seat belt in that pew seat, I would have, or not pew seat, booth seat, I would have buckled up at that present moment. I wasn't really sure where this conversation was going, but what I did know, what I knew in my heart, was I was going to get an answer. So I responded, "Well, both. Tell me about both." And I am so glad that I did that, because they truly opened my eyes to what is important. Especially after preaching a sermon just a day earlier entitled "The Wrong Crowd," right? As the couple shared their responses, I was mentally trying to remember every detail of their answer, and I didn't want to rudely grab my notebook and write down what they were saying. Today's sermon is one of those details that we talked about. I later texted them and thanked them for their hospitality, how much I enjoyed their company, and said, "Congratulations, you flipped the pastor, you changed the message for Sunday." And thus they did. And here's the question coming from their details: are we just information, or are we truly God's invitation? Are we just God's information, or are we truly God's invitation? In the parable this morning, we read about the great feast, where a feast was prepared and invitations were sent out to the friends and associates, who we learn declined because they thought that their happenings or the things that were going on in their lives were a priority, and thus they simply declined and gave an excuse. So what do we learn from this parable? What do we learn from that young couple sitting in a restaurant in a booth, looking at the entire balance of their life before them, many years to come? What do we learn from them? I learned a lot. And I hope I can share just about this much with you this morning about what they told me and what Scripture teaches us each and every day. So I first want to answer Deacon's question. An invitation is from the heart. It has no boundaries. It is simply a request offered to a friend or a stranger that speaks of your desire to share just a moment of their time with them. Just a brief moment of your time shared with a stranger or a friend. You take time together to share in company. That's all an invitation is. I was proud to listen to them respond, because they had pondered and thought about the challenge that I had set before them in January to bring a friend to church, to invite someone to worship with them. And yet here they were, some 9 months later, talking about that very challenge and talking about how they had addressed it. Powerful, to say the least. Second, I want to say that an invitation given out of sincerity and love is truly felt by the receiving party. Even if they are conflicted, even if the person that you are inviting is conflicted, either with their heart or with a duty elsewhere, even if they are conflicted to attend, they follow through with your request, most likely, because they understand the true meaning of that invitation and gesture. They know it is from your heart. I tried to find some research of where we could evaluate invitations that simply come on paper and from the mail, or invitations that are in person. I couldn't find any data on that. But what I did find in my study of that is that a personal invitation is always preferred over simply information received or information put on a banner or in the paper. A personal invitation, most likely, it said, results in action of those invited to come, meaning they will come. As a church, I know that we are awesome in sharing information. Especially in modern day. We punch out bulletins, newsletters, Facebook messages on events, throw something on Snapchat, tap Twitter a time or two with a photo. or a happening here at church and try to be to appear to be welcoming and look inviting. We'll even pay the paper to put something in print to make sure that our information specifically as a church and a church family are seen by the general public. But that information, friends, is not an invitation. It's not. An invitation is personal. It's heartfelt, and it means a lot more to those who are receiving it. Not that our information that we put out, all the work that we do in our bulletins and towers and all the things that we put out, that's also very important. But it certainly is important to many, and especially to those who do not come frequently, such as our shut-ins and others. But that is not an invitation. Important information, but not an invitation. Because even though it's heartfelt, there's no touch. There's no face-to-face. There's no interaction. Much like I and the couple had at dinner. Today, you note that I spent just a few minutes with our young people on Matthew 4:19. Jesus said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." I used a fishing pole, as you know, and some artificial bait to demonstrate what I was trying to get to cross over, to share with them and cross over to them about the previous message last Sunday. I wanted to use that as a demonstration with them to basically push my point across from last Sunday about inviting their friends and being engaged in their faith all the time. But I want to go back to that for a second. I want to take us all the way back to the young people's message. I want to draw another parallel to the fishing pole and to the bait. The pole is simply the bricks and mortar of the church. It sits there. We pass by it. We see it. We work in it. We do all of those things. But in order for it to be successful in the sport of fishing, in order for a fisherman to be successful in his chosen or her chosen sport, they must first take the pole and the bait and put them together. And then they must have the talent and the energy, and they must exercise the process of fishing. Then they must take that content of both, all those things combined, and go to the river or seashore to catch the fish. I call your attention to Matthew 4:19. I also call your attention to the scripture we read this morning, but especially 4:19. Where was Jesus when he said these words to the disciples? Jesus was on the shore getting his feet wet. He wasn't encapsulated in a building, in bricks and mortar. In fact, the story tells you that he was preaching the gospel on the sand before the boat arrived. That's where he was, on the shoreline. There are 1,000+ poles and reels on the shelves of stores across America. There are 1,000+ churches in the valleys and fields of the world. But until you and I bring them the bait, the information, the love, the Holy Spirit that we contain, until we put all of those things together that is founded within the follower, you and me, in Jesus Christ, in our faith, and take the church out to them, we will just be a fishing pole on a shelf. In the parable this morning, when the elite chose to decline, the banquet was basically done. It was over. There wasn't going to be a feast. There was nothing, even though the food was prepared, there was no one there to eat it. That's pretty scary, in my opinion. However, until a real invitation went out, outside the circle of connection, that circle of friends and group, when the real invitation, the second invitation, went out, as Jesus describes, then what happens? When we invite the poor, the lame, the hungry, those we don't know, those friends that we don't see here on a regular basis, When we make that invitation in connection with the information we've put out for weeks and months prior, what happened to the banquet? It began to fill. And if you note in Scripture, that was localized itself. The invitation went out into the town, and yet they still had more room and more food to eat and places to sit. And yet the owner basically said, go out into the countryside, behind the hedges, bring them all. And that banquet turned into a feast. It was a failure based on a closed circuit invitation, but it became a feast on an open, from the heart, with love invitation. The information we as a church push out is truly important. But if you want our baskets filled with fish, we have to put the church on the move. We have to go outside of these walls, and we have to grab our church, and we have to take it to the riverbank. We have to take it to the seashore. We have to take it to the community, because that's where they live. That's where Christ's children live. They dwell with us. I had a wonderful opportunity this summer to spend some time at Smith Mountain Lake with a friend of mine. And while doing so, I tried to connect up with Dave and Betty. And we finally did. We got a little lost, but we found them. And while enjoying our time at their dock, their neighbor came over, who apparently has moved there permanently. Advocate fisherman. Dave says, I remember the conversation well. And I just recalled it as I prepared this sermon. As he came onto the dock, Dave began to introduce him. And finally, we got through the introductions, and he told his neighbor who everybody was on the dock. And then he said, where's my fish? And his neighbor said, out there. And as he pointed to the lake. And then I listened to this guy talk about fishing. He knew the water temperature. He knew where the fish were. He knew where to go to catch them. That's who we need to be. That's who we need to be. We need to know the temperature of our community. We need to know where to go to find them. And lastly, we got to get in the boat. And that's what my dinner with Deacon and Megan taught me. We got to get in the boat. And we got to grab the rod and the reel. And we got to take this ministry to them. Because if we do, they will come and see us in this ministry. From 8 to 80, it doesn't matter. Going back to David's friend's information, when David said, where's my fish? He said, out there. That's where we need to go, out there. In closing, Deacon and Megan stated that, again, as I told you, that they had been personally working on the goal to invite others to church. And then we got into a discussion about how we could do that better. How we can encourage people to come and give a personal invitation. Well, I think the answer is simply this, or at least it's my opinion. Invite them from your heart. You see, if I go back and I draw a parallel to David's neighbor, he loves to fish. And he goes out and he catches them by the dozens because he studies it. He knows it. He's passionate about it. And that's what Christ is asking you today, to be passionate about his ministry. Be passionate about his word and go be fishermen of men. Go seek those who are not seated with you this morning. One last thing before I say amen. I want you to remember the Christ who has provided you salvation. I want you to remember Jesus who brought you into this very ministry where you are welcomed and encouraged to follow him. I also want to encourage you to recognize and understand the story of Christ. You remember when he called the young men off the boat, they followed him instantaneously. And then later on, he met up with a young man named Matthew, who was a tax collector, later on in his ministry, and he brought him into the fold. Those guys hated each other prior to that. They hated Matthew because of who he was. But as soon as Jesus walked him into the ministry of Christ, he was welcomed. He was not only just welcomed by Christ, he was welcomed by all. And we need to remember that as a family, a church family. When we bring them through those doors, when we seek them in our community, and when we get them seated here, we stay with them, we nurture them, and we love them, regardless of who brought them and where they came from. Today, the church must be on the move. An invitation into Christ's house is what we are called to do, and to begin with our Savior. And I remind you this, I want you to begin just like Jesus began. You see, our Savior was on the seashore, ankle deep in water, getting his feet wet. This morning I leave you with a question. What's your excuse? You see, the banquet's beset. Are we going to share in the feast? What's your excuse?